Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Well, we've just been speaking about foreign exchange, and I guess you need Forex these days to travel. And in that respect, I see that air travel is bouncing back, at least on the surface. The International Air Transport Association says airline profits are set to grow to around $36 billion this year, fueled by cheaper jet fuel, stronger passenger demand, and high load factors. But is this really a robust recovery or just a fragile margin game built on very thin buffers and vulnerable assumptions? I want to talk to aviation analyst now, Lyndon Burns from Plane Talking, as we dig into the numbers and some of the realities behind them. So, Lyndon, welcome. And airlines are projecting higher profits this year, as I've mentioned, but with around $7 earned per passenger. It's a razor-thin margin, and you'll agree, vulnerable to any kind of minor disruption.
Absolutely, Jeremy. It equates to a 3.7% net margin, that $7.20 per passenger per flight. And that's on profits expected to reach $36 billion this year. But as you pointed out, and as Willie Walsh, who's the head of IATA and who knows a few things about running airlines, as the former head of BA and IAG, as he pointed out, you know, very vulnerable and exposed to global uncertainties, the impact of the tariff and any other trade wars, the conflict still raging in Ukraine and in the Middle East as well. So, vulnerable, but this isn't foreign territory, if you like. You know, airlines have had to put up with and contend with these things and uncertainties, you know, since they were, going back to the origins of commercial air transport, which was in the closing part of the Second World War, really.
Lyndon, interesting to see that passenger numbers are up. That's a good thing, but revenue is below projection. So I guess it begs the question, would airlines be cutting fares too deeply these days, one, to compete, and two, do you think that model is sustainable?
I think what we're seeing is a couple of things. We're seeing more efficiency being extracted in the market. So, you know, the low-cost airlines, the big ones, the Ryanairs, the Southwest, the EasyJets, the Indigos, you know, have shown that it is, you know, what's actually possible and what you can achieve in terms of greater cost efficiencies. And we've all seen, you know, those of us who are old enough to remember, you know, the days when your suitcases and your seat choice, you know, were included in your airfare, as was the meal and the champagne and everything else. Today, you know, with a few exceptions, you kind of pay for everything these days. I mean, I booked a ticket the other day to fly to East Africa, and you know, if I wanted to have any choice of seat, it was $20 US. Regardless, you know, and if I wanted a decent seat, it was 50. I think, you know, those things are happening. I think what's really worrying though is the situation here in Africa. For a change, we're starting to talk about African airlines achieving a combined profit this year. It's a very thin one. It's $200 million. And it's a 1.1% net margin and just $1.30 per passenger per flight. But it comes at a time when we're seeing 9% year-on-year increased demand, certainly this year between January and the end of April. And IATA's predicting a 3.7% annual compound growth in passenger numbers for Africa, which will mean a doubling in traffic to 345 million passenger journeys a year by 2043, and will still only account for 2% of the global market. And what was very interesting was they're pointing out some of the obstacles that are in the way here. For example, we're paying a 17% premium on jet fuel in our region, and that's because it's no longer produced locally. It has to be imported and then transported and stored. Our tariffs, taxes, and charges on air transport are between 12 and 15% higher than the global average. Our air navigation charges that we pay to the air traffic navigation service, are 10% above the global average. The cost of capital, the cost of maintenance and insurance is anything between 6 and 10% above the global average. Right. So, you know, you've got all of those things coming into the mix as well. And I'm not so sure that governments are doing enough to create that enabling environment and to recognize the fact that air travel is not just about carrying wealthy tourists on safari, but it's actually intrinsic to developing your economy and to creating jobs, sustainable jobs across the economy.
And Linda, that enabling environment that you refer to implies better infrastructure.
It implies better suited infrastructure. So we don't need vanity projects. We need infrastructure that is efficient, both in terms of operations and cost. We need infrastructure that meets today's the expectations, both of travelers and in terms of security. So we need digitalized airports, for example, where you can move through that airport quickly and efficiently using your mobile device or a digitalized ID, and at the same time provide very robust security against emerging new threats. And that also helps to signal that you're a competitive, sophisticated economy and therefore a secure and a good and attractive place to invest.
And Lyndon, it would seem that an airport like ORT or even Cape Town International at this point, given the potential trajectory growth that you're referring to, are both very ill-equipped to deal with that increased capacity.
They have the floor space, but there does need to be some CapEx investment there in those facilities and the systems to make those flows work. I mean, for how long have we been seeing things like, you know, the electronic passport e-gates not functioning properly? Or, you know, one moment they're on, the next moment they're not. Even things like travelators, you know, the walking floorways, many of them at OR Tambo have not been functioning since they were switched off during the pandemic. You know, and frankly, that's inexcusable because we're all paying airport charges. And in the same way, we're all paying, you know, air traffic navigation.
Yeah, and there's an expectation.
Well, and we're not getting those. There's an expectation you get, you know, you should get what you pay for.
What you pay for. Just a quick one in conclusion, and I think this is worrying. Cargo revenue dropping nearly 5%, obviously as a result of trade tensions. Do you think we're heading into, or is the industry heading into, a dangerous over-reliance on passenger demand?
So the cargo picture is kind of skewed because a lot of the cargo capacity is generated in the belly holds of passenger planes. So while there's demand for increased passenger capacity, when you add the airline seats, you're automatically adding cargo capacity. And the problem is we're adding capacity faster than we're actually able to fill it. And I think at the moment, on average, certainly in Africa, we're flying with only about 40% of our cargo capacity being utilized. And obviously it reflects, air cargo, because of the nature of the stuff it carries, it's high value, low weight, but high volume stuff like cell phones, smartphones, and computer chips and stuff. It's a key barometer of global trade. And it certainly doesn't signal a healthy picture in terms of, you know, of where we're sitting at the moment in the world.
Always good talking to you. That's Lyndon Burns from Plain Talking. I do appreciate your time.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.